the angel of the Lord, "We would like you to stay until we prepare a young goat for you." The angel of the Lord replied, "Even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord." Manoah did not realize that it was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, "What is your name, so that we may honor you when your word comes true?" He replied, "Why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding." Then Manoah took a young goat, together with the grain offering, and sacrificed it on a rock to the Lord. And the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. As the flame blazed up from the altar towards heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell with their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord did not show himself again to Manoah and his wife, Manoah realized that it was the angel of the Lord. "We are doomed to die," he said to his wife. "We have seen God." But his wife answered, "If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and grain offering from our hands, nor shown us all these things, or now told us this." The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Manaah, Dan, between Zorah and Eshtal. This is the word of the Lord.
Be to God. Now, I don't know if we have anyone in today who has suddenly discovered a Scottish or Irish ancestry. We probably shouldn't mention the rugby, should we? But for Wales, the build-up is often the best bit. And you may have heard that the Welsh choirs are no longer going to sing the Tom Jones song Delilah in the build-up to the rugby. It's one of those songs that probably we only knew one line of, but it turns out to be a rather horrific story of a man taking revenge against his girlfriend. Perhaps influenced in part by this story of Samson and Delilah. Delilah, of course, Samson's wife, who's going to betray him. It's an extremely colourful story, this story of Samson. You can understand how parts of it will be beloved of Sunday schools and children's Bibles. Some of you might remember the 1949 Cecil B. DeMille version with Hedy Lamarr. Apparently there was also a 1961 version from the golden age of Polish cinema. Who knew? That version set in the Warsaw ghetto under the Nazis. There was another US movie in 2018. So you're a highly educated lot, aren't you? So you probably know that there's been a couple of operas, including one with a libretto by Voltaire, no less. Of course, there's the Handel masterpiece. This story of the birth of Samson begins with this sort of narrative fanfare of the annunciation of his birth. But we'll see in future weeks, it's actually going to be a very mixed story. Samson is the last and most famous of the judges. Some of the judges get only a sentence, but Samson gets these four amazing chapters. But this chapter focuses very much on God and his work. It takes place before Samson is born. It's the announcement of his birth. And so the writer of Judges doesn't want us to let Samson distract us from God. God is using Samson to be something of a saviour in Israel. And this is a story which teaches us the grace and greatness of God. That's the focus of our chapter. So let's think about it briefly with those themes of the grace and greatness of God in mind. Perhaps you'd like to have it open again, page 256. If we can remember anything of the book of Judges, the situation in verse 1 is probably familiar to us. Remember, there's this cycle where God's people reject him and they're handed over to their enemies. And then normally they cry out to God for deliverance. God raises up a saviour, and for a while they're delivered. So verse 1. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. So if we've been reading Judges, we're probably expecting that the people will cry out to God for deliverance. We've sometimes seen that their repentance has been missing or faulty or fleeting. But normally there's some sort of cry to God, even if it's not real heartfelt repentance. It's, Lord, we're in a mess, please change our situation. But here there's nothing. So how does verse 2 follow from verse 1? There was a certain man of Zorah, never heard of it, called Manoah. Who on earth is he? Well, God, in fact, is going to do something. Something small and obscure and surprising, but God is at work. God's people don't cry out to him. They don't repent. Perhaps they think the oppression of the Philistines is not too bad. We can live with this. This is okay. We can accommodate ourselves to this. Let's not rock the boat. Let's not stir up trouble. Sometimes the church can become comfortable in the world, can't it? The church can accommodate itself to the prevailing fashions and norms. But God means to stir things up. He sends Samson to provoke the Philistines. No, there's going to be war between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. The church and the world can't really coexist together. The church has to be salt and light and distinctive and different. No good just to sell out and settle down with the values of the world. So God's grace is at work here. His undeserved love by which he means to save his people. And he does it by means of a miraculous birth. These are familiar in the Bible, of course. There's Sarah, the wife of Abraham, and Rebecca, the wife of Isaac, and Rachel, Jacob's wife, and Hannah. Later in the New Testament, there'll be Elizabeth. And of course, a sort of similar but different riff on this is the virgin birth, the birth of the Lord Jesus. Here's a foreshadowing of the coming of Jesus, isn't it? Samson's life, for good or ill, is largely determined by women. And although Manoah is named here and his wife isn't, Manoah is kind of excluded from the picture here. The angel comes to his wife and she has to go and tell Manoah, and he prays for the angel to come to him. But again, the angel actually comes to his wife and she has to go and get Manoah. It's not by man's strength or power that his people are going to be saved. Salvation is God's work. God is acting to save and deliver his people. Samson is going to be a Nazarite, this kind of priestly, holy warrior set apart to God and his purposes. But Manoah wants to get some more information, some more detail, and so he asks for the angel of the Lord to come again, and graciously the angel of the Lord does. But there's no real more information added. Really, Manoah should have just listened to his wife and got on with it. Their part is to trust and obey, to play their role in God's purposes. They're told what to do. They don't have all the answers. They don't have the whole picture, but they're called on to follow God. The grace of God, but also the greatness of God here. Because Manoah and his wife find themselves entertaining angels unawares, as the book of Hebrews put it. They don't realize that this figure is the angel, the messenger of the Lord, the commander of the Lord's armies, who also seems to be the Lord himself. Probably the Lord Jesus in his pre-incarnate state. They offer this sacrifice, and the angel of the Lord ascends. What is his name? Well, it's wonderful. It's beyond understanding. That surely is one of the messages of the book of Judges, the greatness and power of God, his strange and surprising salvation, that God's ways are often not our ways. Well, Manoah is wrong that he's doomed to die, but his intuition is right. He knows that they're sinful people who've come into the presence of a holy God, and they know that they deserve to die. His wife gives him kind of the opposite of mansplaining here, doesn't she? The wife has got a sort of sensible explanation. Manoah thinks that this is the end for them, and she rightly says in verse 23, well, if the Lord had meant to kill us, it's very strange that we should have all this stuff about I'm going to have a child, and so on. Here again is the grace of God. Interesting, isn't it, that it's associated with this sacrifice, a pointer to the fact that there's going to be a sacrifice for sin. They'll make it possible for sinners like you and me to come into the presence of God. God's strange and surprising salvation, God's grace, his undeserved love, and his greatness, his power, his name is wonderful and beyond understanding. Will we, like Manoah and his wife, trust and obey? Will we be willing to play our part in God's purposes? Will we be faithful to him and follow where he leads? Let's be quiet for a moment, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your grace, your undeserved love for us. And we bow before your greatness. We acknowledge you as wonderful. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, the Saviour who perfectly meets our need. For his sacrifice for our sin. We pray for your grace to trust and obey your word, to play our part in your purposes for your name's sake. Amen.